Good morning. Baptism has the roots that go all the way back to our Jewish origins, where a tavala ceremony was enacted using water as part of powerful Jewish purification ritual. When John the Baptist began adapting this ritual for his followers, baptism began to take on new depth and meaning. And this morning, on Baptism of Jesus Sunday, we consider the meaning of Jesus' baptism for us as his followers. As we are in the lectionary year of Matthew, we listen to his version of this pivotal event in our history. Imagine with me as you hear this story unfolding. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you do come to me." But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
You are so beautiful. You are so repugnant. You are so brilliant. You are so stupid. You are so amazing. You are so horrible. I wonder, as we begin a bit of reflection on the scripture, what words there are that form the inner dialogue inside you. What are the words that shape your identity of who you believe you are? What are the names that you hold on to that give you worth and value or hold you down? Loving, generous, intelligent, kind, despicable, selfish, stupid, worthless. There are a number of words that each and every one of us have held on to, whether or not we realize it, that we hold on to and form an inner dialogue that name who we are in the world today. You ever thought what those words really are? What are the words that shape who you believe you are? Where have they come from, and why do you hold on to them? It's been my practice in the last several churches to have a marriage enhancement workshop every year, usually around Valentine's Day, and just kind of a ministry opportunity to support couples that are in a covenanted marriage relationship to support that healthy relationship that they have. And I remember one presenter, and she was speaking about words that we take in. And she said, "Once a word has been spoken, it can never be taken back again." We take in, over the course of our lifetime, a myriad number of words. Words, words, words that some of us take in, some of us put aside. But at the end of the day, we've made almost like a word bank, that we've banked a number of words that form our core identity of who we allow ourselves to be and that shape who we are in the world. You might disagree. "Scott, that doesn't make any sense. Don't you know the old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names never hurt me?" Not really sure anymore as I think about the scripture this morning if I subscribe to that schoolyard wisdom saying anymore. Certainly, sticks and stones can break bones. We know that. But words, words, oh, words have power, don't they? Words have so much power. Words can hurt. Words can heal. Words can give life. And words can give death. As we take a look at the scripture this morning, I would suggest that we might look at it in perhaps a bit of a fresh way this morning and consider it as a naming ceremony. A naming ceremony for Jesus. Who is the first one? Let me ask you, who's the first one that got to name the baby? The first one that got to name the baby, was it the shepherds? Was it the angel? Was it the wise men? Who was it that named the baby born in that humble manger in Bethlehem? This morning it was God. God is the one that addresses Jesus for the first time in his life. If we were to kind of spend the day with the first three chapters of Matthew this morning, it would provide a wonderful exercise, I think, because it's kind of almost like a rapid pace movement through Jesus' life until he becomes an adult. In three chapters, if we were to look at this, Jesus is foretelling of his birth. There's kind of the genealogy of Jesus, what becomes into Jesus' life, all of his ancestors. And then there's the foretelling. Remember the foretelling, the angel coming to tell in Joseph's dream. And then there's the birth, and then there's the wise men, and then there's the fleeing, the warning for the angel to flee to Egypt because of the massacre of the infants that was about to take place by Herod. And then there's the dream that calls the Holy Family back. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus come back. And then there's the entry point for John the Baptist. And then we have this morning's text. Jesus is now suddenly, in three chapters, an adult. And he has not been addressed at all, has he? Well, they foretold what he might be. They've said Joseph's first dream. Remember that day I kind of had fun and dressed up with you? And Joseph had that dream. And Mary was pregnant. And Joseph had a dream, and the angel said, it'll be Emmanuel. They shall call him Emmanuel, shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And from then on, it was the child. It was just this generic naming. They just called him the child. The Herod was said to the wise men, go out and search diligently for the child so that I may pay homage to him. And then the angel refers to Jesus as the child. It says, flee to Egypt, where it's going to be safe. Go, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt. And then the second dream, come on back. You can return with the child and his mother in his next dream, John the Baptist. This morning's text is where Jesus is named, where he is addressed directly. And imagine that vision of what it would look like. Some of you I know have been to Israel. Life-changing experience for me when I went. Imagine just the riverbanks of the Jordan. And it's a Jerusalem sunrise. And the clouds are parting in the sky. And the words echoed, thundered through the sky. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. He's given two names, son, beloved son. And in that naming, everything begins to change. It's a complete change in history. Never again will God be distant and far, but God will be close and walking in their midst. Never again will they be bound by the constraints of law, but they will be released by grace. There was a realization in that moment that God has been sent into their midst through a representative, God's Son. In that day, that was how things happened. The Father always sent the Son. That was kind of the cultural understanding of the day, of course. And God sent a representative into our midst that we might understand God's way. God's ways of love, God's ways of peace, God's ways of grace, and that we might be invited in to God's family and be kin with all of God's creation. In some ways, it's a profound turnabout of events because every baptism that John the Baptist had offered before was all about including people into his little community. But when he baptized Jesus, it was a complete reverse. When Jesus was baptized, everyone was included into God's community through Jesus Christ. We began with some names that you might hold, and perhaps some came to mind. Perhaps some beautiful names came to mind, and perhaps some painful names came as well. I'd like to suggest to you, as we think about these words that were offered to Jesus at his baptism, that those are words that are offered to you as well. Those words are your birthright. Those words are your birthright as a follower of the way of Jesus Christ. You are my daughter, beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. You are my son, beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. When God offers those words to Jesus, those are not just ending there. Those expand throughout the ages of space and time, and those words are offered to each and every one of us. Those are words that should inspire us when we feel like life is falling apart. Those are words that should pick us up when we feel like we can't go any further. Those are words that should inspire us in our living, in our serving, in our faith throughout our journey. Now, I don't want to stop here. I don't want to stop here and have this kind of be a feel-good sermon, because indeed, baptism of Jesus should feel good. This is not just about a relationship between you and God through Jesus. There is a profound challenge that comes through this call as well. If we are each and every one of us beloved sons and daughters of God through Jesus, then we must realize that each and every one around us and throughout the globe are also equally beloved sons and daughters, and we have just gotten into the most wonderful family that ever could have been imagined. We are all beloved. We are all part of God's family. We are all kin in the kingdom of God. We are all spiritually connected. We are not strangers that we see on the street. We are kin. We are not just friends that we see at the grocery store. We are kin. We are not mere acquaintances. We are kin. We are not family or friends. We are all kin. And we are not enemies. We are kin. Think about the hot lunch ministry. Saturday morning in the cold, I was thinking of that ministry yesterday, gathering out there in Wally, serving warm food and offering love and hospitality. Folks that we minister to there are our family, they are our kin. When we think about the folks on the downtown east side, those folks are our kin, they are our family. When we think about the wealthy and the elite in our world, they too are our kin. When we think about the refugees fleeing their country, they are our kin that we are charged to help. This day is more than any other day, I think, in the church year, a reminder that we are called into a wonderful, huge family, kin, God's kingdom, united through the baptism of Jesus. So think about that day. Imagine that day, that beautiful Jerusalem day, at the river banks of the Jordan, as the waters were there, that Jerusalem sunrise and the clouds parting, and imagine those words are offered to you. You are my son. You are my daughter, the beloved, in whom I am so well pleased. These are words of the deepest comfort for us, and they are words of the most profound challenge as well. May we truly live out our baptismal faith with all that we are in all that we do. Amen.